morning, church. Welcome to St. John's Episcopal Church, Jackson, Wyoming, online. Really happy to have you back with us this Sunday morning. A couple of things to announce. The first is welcome back, Mary.
Thank you. It's really nice to have Mary back with us.
Yeah, it's just, we missed you while you're gone.
Can I say something really quickly?
Absolutely.
I just want to thank the number of people who reached out and sent prayers and checked in and remind you why it matters to belong to a loving community. So yeah. Thank you all. I miss being here.
Yeah, we're glad to have you back. One thing to put in front of you that you've maybe seen on our digital communication is that on Saturday, May 30th, all throughout the day, we're sponsoring a blood drive with the American Red Cross. There are still opportunities to sign up to donate blood. There is a blood shortage right now, given the fact that most people have been stuck at home over the course of the last several weeks. So there's a real need in our community for this blood. We know that a single pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. So if you have the time and you have the desire and you have the blood to give, we would love to see you on Saturday, May 30th. You can go to our website at stjohnsjackson.org to get more information about how to reserve a spot. Of course, we'll be practicing strict social distancing. We'll ask you to wear a mask when you show up, and not just ask you, we'll require you to wear a mask when you show up. But we would love to have that donation of blood in support of the American Red Cross and all of our surrounding healthcare institutions that need that resource to treat people of our community and those who visit here. Perhaps you have seen in our digital communication that we are slowly beginning to plan what it will look like to reopen our church for public worship. Right now, our soft target around that, as you may already know, is mid-June. Most likely, almost definitely, we will be worshiping outside under a tent. We've been sourcing tents for the second time, again this week, trying to figure out where that would go and how many people we can put in safely. Church will look different. There's going to be no congregational singing and no choir, and of course we won't be able to celebrate the Eucharist for a longer period of time. It's still uncertain when it might be safe to do that, but it'll be awfully nice to see those of you who are able to come under a tent in our green space here on the St. John's campus. So just keep your eyes and ears open for more information week in and week out as we settle into those details in an incredibly dynamic situation. After the ringing of the bell and a moment of quiet, we'll begin our worship.
Alleluia. Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Alleluia.
God of love, you know our innermost thoughts and the deepest secrets of our hearts. Holy Spirit, move into our lives with your mercy and forgiveness. Cleanse us and make us whole so that we are ready to serve you and your creation with love.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, the King of glory, you have exalted your only Son, Jesus Christ, with great triumph to your kingdom in heaven. Do not leave us comfortless, but send us your Holy Spirit to strengthen us and exalt us to that place where our Savior Christ has gone before, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, in glory everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
A reading from 1 Peter. Beloved,
Do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory, which is the Spirit of God, is resting on you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves. Keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters in the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power, forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now let's recite portions of Psalm 68 together. Let God arise,
and let his enemies be scattered. Let those who hate him flee before him. Let them vanish like smoke when the wind drives it away. As the wax melts at the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. Let them also be merry and joyful. Sing to God, sing praises to his name. Exalt him who rides upon the heavens. Yahweh is his name. Rejoice before him. Father of orphans, defender of widows, God in his holy habitation. God gives the solitary a home and brings forth prisoners into freedom. But the rebels shall live in dry places. O God, when you went forth before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, the earth shook and the skies poured down rain. At the presence of God, the God of Sinai, at the presence of God, the God of Israel, you sent a gracious rain, O God, upon your inheritance. You refreshed the land when it was weary. Your people found their home in it. In your goodness, O God, you have made provision for the poor. Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth. Sing praises to the Lord. He rides in the heavens, the ancient heavens. He sends forth his voice, his mighty voice. Ascribe power to God. His majesty is over Israel. His strength is in the skies. How wonderful is God in his holy places. The God of Israel, giving strength and power to his people. Blessed be God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and known in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
So we find ourselves back in this farewell discourse portion of John, at least for one more week, as we make our way toward Pentecost next Sunday. And if you've been listening to us week in and week out, you have some sense that during this particular portion of John's gospel, Jesus is seeking to communicate to his disciples the nature of their relationship with him and with God as they move toward crucifixion. Certainly we're reading it after crucifixion during this period, but that's where the portion comes from. Jesus saying goodbye to some degree to his disciples, assuring them that though their relationship will be different, nevertheless, they are connected. So we get another dose of that. And these portions in John's gospel, to me, have always felt somewhat mathematical. It's just like, if then, so then, you get this, you're connected to him, and they're connected to me, and so we're all, you know, unified. We're all one numeral. We're all connected. But I'm not going to particularly focus on the mathematical side of things. If you have heard me preach before, and I know that these two sitting here have, that you know that one of the things that delights me about the story of the Bible is to know it well enough, or to have a deep enough command of it, that when we read these passages again, to pick out that tiny little phrase in there that somehow lights us up in some way. And so when I was reading it this week and thinking about this preaching conversation that we have, I just can't let go of that opening statement that Jesus has, "Father, the hour has come." And my mind, I know the mechanism that the church is trying to accomplish here, liturgically, moving from Easter to Pentecost. We're about to hand off this work, this God's work in the world, from Jesus to the Holy Spirit and us. So I get that. I know that we're on this threshold there. But what I'm really drawn to is this, just the personal experience in life when I've found myself in that place of like, wow, here we are. Here is this moment that we've been talking about, or we've been strategizing, or we've been working hard for, or we've been praying about, thinking that it might emerge, having some faith that it might emerge, and all of a sudden it's upon us. And my mind just goes back to these two stories that were significant experiences in my life and the life of my family. I remember, well, I suppose it was October 2001. Cindy and I were living in Austin with Jazz. Jazz was a baby, less than 1 year old. And we were in this conversation, this sort of continual conversation of what's next for me vocationally or professionally. And we had also had this ongoing conversation about moving to California someday. I don't really know why. Neither of us had really spent much time in California, but the idea, there was this draw to the West for some reason, and I had entered into a discernment process with All Saints Beverly Hills, and that discernment process was interrupted by September 11th. So there was an early period of interviewing and sort of courting that went on, and then there was an absence of that, and then all of a sudden we were able to reschedule an in-person interview in the month of October, and we went, and Cindy and I traveled to California together. We left Jas with her mom the first time that we left him, and we had this experience of interacting with the people of All Saints Beverly Hills and their staff, who would become my colleagues if we were to go there. And I remember this moment of, you weren't able to drive someone to the airport still. There was security around that. So I think they tucked us into a cab or a car service or something, and we went back to LAX on Sunday evening to fly back to Austin, where we were living. And we went through security and negotiated that, and we sat down. And I always remember these chairs at LAX. They're very like mid-century mod air terminal chairs. And we were sitting there, and Cindy turned to me and she said, "So I guess we're moving to Los Angeles." And I just sort of smiled back at her and I said, "I guess so." And there were still things to work out and still a measure of discernment to happen. But in that moment, there was just that Father, the hour has come. Like, this is what we had been imagining. We didn't know exactly what it would look like. We had gone to San Diego a year before and interviewed there, and that just didn't feel right to us. But then it happened. And then there was something very similar that happened when I was interviewing for this job here. And I remember it was Cindy again who sort of made this acknowledgement when we had visited and interviewed in person, and it was snowy. I think maybe it was March. And our question was, Cindy had never been here in the snow, and we were a little bit concerned about Jas. And there was this moment where Cindy was like, "You know, I think I could get snow boots on Jas." And that was like the moment of like, Father, the hour has come. You know, it was just this like, we could do this. Like, this might be what all this work has led us to. And that's a long introduction to this question to you all of those moments. Are there those moments that you remember in your life, or do you relate to this single line, this little phrase in John's Gospel in any way? Or?
You know, I feel like I have a lot of those moments, and I think that I have foolishly or not listened for those moments in my life and had the guts often to follow them, but the two that come to mind are very related. I'm going to tell a long story too, but I'll try to be quick. I've been living with my husband and my two kids in rural South Dakota for about 8 years, and we'd spent 8 years trying to figure out where we wanted to move. And I finally convinced my husband to go back to California with me, and we went and we looked at this property and we looked at each other and we said, "This isn't it, is it?"
Not it.
I thought it was going to be it. And we were driving home and I said, "Honey, if you could live anywhere in the world, where would it be?" He said, "Jackson, Wyoming." Okay, take a left here. We got up here, stayed at the Virginian, rented a condo, went home and packed up our car, and we just knew. We drove into town and said, "Yeah, this is it.
This is it."
And the same thing, I mean, you don't have to have a call to ministry to have these moments, but the other one happens to be mine, which was coming to this church. I had been in seminary, I graduated 15 years before I got here.
Wow.
And I walked into this church. First of all, the first thing that came to me is, I'm home. Mm. First person who greeted me was Dan Land. I love you, Dan.
That's so great.
And it just became so clear to me. I knew when I left seminary it would happen at some point that I would make the decision. But suddenly it was that those words, I think, even with the hours here.
Yeah.
And I knew it was time.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. You know, for me, I'm sure that I have had that experience at some point, but for me, mostly, I recognize those, the hour has come in hindsight.
Uh-huh.
You
yeah,
know,
sure.
The there are those crux moments in our lives that somehow they aren't that apparent in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna veer off just a little bit here.
Yeah, veer away.
And what I love about this this gospel reading and the whole discourse, the final discourse, is what I hear beneath all of the bolstering up of the disciples is this acceptance on Jesus'
mm-hmm.
part. You know, Father, the hour has come. Well, yeah, Jesus makes the choice to go through what he has to do.
It's a challenging hour.
But it's a very challenging hour for him. And but yet I hear this love and this acceptance beneath that.
Yeah.
And that's what moved me the most, because sometimes when our hour has come, whether we recognize it in the moment or whether we recognize it in hindsight, it can either call for action or acceptance.
Yeah.
Or both, or and maybe there might be a third thing, but those are the two options that are often given to us.
Yeah, it's interesting you talk about that, because when I was thinking about that story, you know, Jesus isn't going into a beautiful ministry at this point.
No.
He's going to his death.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's not moving to Jackson Hole.
And yet the stories that come to mind are these, like, but there is fear.
Yeah.
And there is a bit of reticence, like, am I, you know, and yet, like you said, there's still details to be worked out. This is a big step in my life. This will change everything for my family. There's still that sense of fear, and yet you let go and walk forward and with a sense of faith. And it's not that you're walking into something scary and negative, but it is scary.
Yeah,
it's a change. And so there is that moment of knowing and yet being terrified at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, bringing that more shadow side to the experience brought this memory flooding back around moving to California. I mean, our life in Austin was just so great.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the movers came and packed our house, and then they were coming to get our stuff the next day, and we were driving out of Austin. And my two very best friends, Pittman and Trent, lived in Austin. They lived less than a half a mile from me.
Mm-hmm.
And we were sitting in the living room eating pizza on top of boxes with Pittman and Trent, and I burst into tears. It was just that, like, oh my God, like,
mm-hmm.
I'm losing something here.
Yep.
And I do think each of those threshold moments, there is loss. It's very easy for me to look back and see the positive side. And it's a little painful to, I'm still friends with Pittman and Trent, of course, and Pittman's been here to visit a few times and Trent's been once, and but it's not the same as eating breakfast with those guys every Friday morning, which I did for 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah, there are those moments where we know no matter what we do, nothing's ever going to be the same again.
Yeah. Mm.
And those are the moments, you know, those are those really powerful moments in our lives. When I don't know how we can do it other than just walking into the fear with faith.
Exactly. Right.
And that's the other thing that I hear in this discourse of Jesus's too, is knowing full well that nothing's going to be the same, and yet gracefully going forward.
And now all that energy is about trying to bring, give that to all, to the disciples, right?
Yeah.
This whole episode that we've been going through is about giving them that sense of walking
and that
forward.
Assurance that we've been hearing too, like, everything's gonna be okay. Like, I've got you. Like, you're connected. Different, not disconnected.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Well, good work, gang.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, send your
So homework for this week. Let's try this on for size. Father, the hour has come. You know, it's not only huge, momentous crux moments that happen in our lives. There are all these little moments that literally happen for me every day where I have a choice to make. I have a question. And instead of falling back on, well, what should I do here? What's the right thing to do here? This week I'm going to try to say, in those moments, Father, the hour has come, and see what happens.
Yeah, I like that idea. Yeah.
I'll probably do it inwardly. But you can say it out loud if you like. Let's say together the Christian affirmation in a time of uncertainty. We believe in God the Creator, who reminds us in the dawning of every new day that new life is possible. We believe in the wonder and grandeur of a universe where the whole of life is called to live in harmony of care. We believe in Jesus Christ, who prayed in the mountains of peace and brought us the word in mustard seeds and fig trees of blessing, whose footsteps touch the earth in love, and who invites us to follow. We believe in the Holy Spirit, whose wisdom often lies embedded in ancient peoples. They trod lightly across deserts and lived gently among plants and creatures. They reached respectfully for the mystery, which is God with us, the one who never leaves us or forsakes us. We believe in the everlasting hope, the great calling of the people of God, the Church, the transforming of all things, which is possible in God. Amen.
Amen. With all our hearts and mind, let us pray to God, saying, O God, in your goodness, hear our prayer. In this time of confusion, vulnerability, and uncertainty, let us pray to God. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That our spiritual leaders may serve your people in ways that demonstrate your love and healing power, let us pray to God. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That the leaders of this nation and all others in authority may be guided by your wisdom and find strength and courage to know and accomplish your purposes in the midst of these troubling times. Let us pray to God. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That all peoples of the earth, especially the most vulnerable among us, be kept safe. Let us pray to God for the special needs of our congregation, especially for Jackie, Mark, Eric, Paul, Rebecca, the Brown family, Marion, Stan, Mary, Sylvia, Megan, Warren, Melissa, Gail, Amy, Robin, Ernie and Francis, Ned, Mark, Julie, Tony, Svetlana, Jim, Rob, Kelly, Sue, Susie, Stephen, Mary, Russell, Nikki, John, Jean, Anne, Cindy, and those we now name. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That we, your people, may find joy and compassion and unity, that we may find new ways to connect and love one another. Let us pray to God in thanksgiving for those celebrating birthdays, Joe, John, Jane, Marcia, Peter, Ellie, Jenny, Andy, Kate, Anna, Gail, TR, Dorothy, Samantha, and those celebrating anniversaries, Bob and Barbara, Frank and Kim, Nick and Jessica. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That we may have patience as your work in the world unfolds, that we do not fall into despair, but rise in hope. Let us pray to God. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
That those who have died may find peace and joy among the communion of saints, let us pray to God. O God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
God, whose vision spans all the ages of the earth, help us to see beyond this moment and to embrace the wider perspective of your whole creation. Deliver us from fear and lead us into a way of love and justice that makes room for all peoples. Send your spirit among us that we may know the healing power of your love. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus, the reconciler of the world. Amen. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you forever.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go in peace to love and serve the risen Christ.
Thanks be to God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.